Today's sermon is entitled Simply Watching Jesus. It comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 10. Simply watching Jesus, one of the blessings or curses of modern life, depending on how you look at it, it's the smartphone, which nowadays can do almost anything that a computer can do. Smartphones like laptops and tablets, they're the tools of the trade for active, engaged, and task-oriented people like us. We like to be busy. We're now able to contact people all over the world at an instant. We can conduct business and make plans and go shopping and find information instantly and continuously. My brother, who lives in Alaska, who has resisted getting connected via the internet, he was actually offered a raise if he would invest in a smartphone, because that smartphone would enable him to communicate more effectively with his boss, sending pictures and documents and other information instantly to the office, and that would speed up business and make the business more profitable. The smartphone is a great tool, and it enables us to get so much more done in so much less time. And it's not just good for business. I mean, teenagers know this. Smartphone is great for music. It's great for contacting friends. My smartphone would be a lot faster if I didn't have so much music downloaded on it. But if you could ask me any question in the world, I could Google it from my smartphone from anywhere where I've got some kind of a 4G, 5G connect, connection, and I could get you the answer almost instantly. And it's like walking around with a library in your pocket. And if I'm ever lonely, I can always locate a friend. I can always call them. I can even locate them geographically so I can know who's close in proximity to me and who isn't. And this is great because we like to have gadgets. We like to stay busy. My generation, at least, likes to stay busy. We like to have things to do, and the cell phone affords us so much to do. We have access to a device that gives us something to do whenever we want it. In the off chance that I ever get bored, I can download a game app and play it until something more interesting happens. Yet this is not always a good thing. You see, having these devices can get in the way of human relationships. I've seen young couples on dates pulling out their smartphones and doing whatever on their smartphones while they're still on a date. They'll sit at a table sitting across from each other, and they will, when the conversation lulls, when they get nervous or whatever, they pull out a smartphone and start tapping on it instead of dealing with each other, instead of developing that relationship. Why? Well, because it's easier. They're nervous, and to deal with what they say and to really think about what they say is harder than actually pulling out a device and doing something different. Everyone is nervous on a date. You're afraid you're going to say something wrong or do something wrong or offend somebody. You're afraid that you're going to be rejected. Well, the nice thing about a smartphone is that it won't reject you. And if you say something wrong, you can always turn it off. You can't turn off your wife or your girlfriend or whoever, but you can turn off your gadget. So it's a much safer relationship than what occurs between two human beings. But we lose something when we sacrifice human relationships for the distraction of gadgetry. We lose a meaningful relationship. We need human relationships because without them, we will become very, very lonely. A smartphone or a laptop or some game or whatever, it can keep us busy and occupied for years, but we will always come away feeling empty. I don't care how much you like gaming, you'll never attain the wonderful feeling of being loved or being in love that you can gain from a relationship with another human being. Because computers don't care about us. They don't know us. They don't care about us at all. My pedometer will give me a little happy face and tell me what a wonderful job I'm doing when I walk a lot during a day, but it doesn't really care about me. It's just programmed to send a certain message when a certain number of vibrations occur within it. A human relationship is vital because we have a need to be loved and we have a need to love. What makes a relationship special? Well, when we make a mistake or when we sin or whatever, the other person forgives us. The other person does care. The other person may be hurt, but they forgive us. That's grace, and that's something very, very unique to human relationships and something very special within our relationships. Other people exhibit grace, and that's what makes us giddy when we're in love. We say to ourselves, despite all my hang-ups and my flaws and my inadequacies, this person loves me, and a computer simply cannot love us. We have to be careful as Christians of becoming so hung up on our devices that we sacrifice human relationships. We have to be careful that we don't become so task-oriented that we forget about relationships. We like to stay occupied with tasks, whether it be on our lap, on our laptop or on our cell phone or whatever. We attempt to restrict our worship service to a single hour, but in that single hour, there are 22 different components of our worship service. I've counted them. And what happens if we just came here and prayed and sang a song repeatedly? Would we feel nervous? Would we be looking at our watch? Would we start to feel uncomfortable and pull out our cell phones and start playing games? Are we capable of focusing our attention not only on one another, but on God? And with regards to our ministries, how easy it is for us to serve God without even thinking about God, to go from one task to the next automatically, constantly. We can be feeding the poor and visiting the sick and and dealing with ministries of mercy all through the day. But do we actually develop relationships with other people or with God? We can be serving God as if God just gave us a long to-do list and we're supposed to go through our lives just doing one thing after the other until we die, and then we assume that we're going to be walking through the Golden Gate. Is that the kind of God that we serve? Well, I think that Jesus' disciples were a bit like us in the sense that they perhaps were a little bit, reluctant to get into a deep relationship with Jesus. They were task-oriented, bent on listening and doing what Jesus required them to do. They were like good employees wanting to please their boss, but they didn't really want a relationship with that boss. Like us, I think they had a difficult time just slowing down and appreciating the mere presence of Jesus. They were more comfortable when they were busy, when they had tasks to do, when they could look down at their smartphone or look at what had to be done and to go ahead and do it. And on this Transfiguration Sunday, and in the upcoming Sundays of Lent, I challenge you to really slow down and not be task-oriented, but to dwell in God's presence. In today's gospel reading, Jesus takes Peter, John, and James up to the mountain. And he doesn't give them any purpose. He doesn't say, we're going up there to pick berries, or we're going up there to evangelize, or we're going up there so I can teach you this or that and the other. They just go up there. And when they get to the top, there's no teaching necessarily that goes on. There's only Jesus who turns whiter than white and is met by Moses and Elijah, two important prophets from centuries past who no doubt James, John, and Peter presumed to be dead. Now, Peter, being a good task-oriented disciple, decides that he needs to do something. He can't just sit there and watch this, and so he suggests that he should build something, maybe something to keep him occupied, like a booth or whatever. And he talks to the Lord and says, let me do this because it would be good for you and Elijah and Moses to each have a booth. And God kind of intervenes in a rather rough way and says, look, Peter, stop thinking about doing anything. Just be quiet and watch and listen. If you or I were up on the mountaintop, I think we would be doing the same thing. We would be pulling out our smartphones and texting our friends, you can't believe what I just saw here, blah, 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 like that. We would be looking for something to distract us. Stop thinking and just stop doing things. Just look and just listen. Be still and see Jesus dazzling white. You may have thought he was just a teacher or a healer doing nice deeds, teaching good ethics, telling telling you how to please God, but he's more than a teacher. He's more than a healer. He's Lord and Savior. Be in awe as you dwell in his presence. Just look upon him and savor the experience. See Jesus standing with Elijah and Moses. Yes, Elijah and Moses. Perhaps you thought they were dead long ago, but here they are. How can this be? Well, did you think that God had to obey our laws of mortality? Did you forget that God makes the laws of mortality and he can decide when and where to break them? It might help you to know that this master, this Jesus himself, will be breaching the boundary between life and death in a few months. You know, we've been good, busybody Christians for many, many years, perhaps. But have we stopped to have a good look at our Lord? Have we seen him as more than our teacher and healer, but as the very image of God who transcends death and eliminates all boundaries to live and indeed to die among us? This is where our attention must be as we enter this season of Lent. We are not called to move mountains for Jesus. We're called to move mountains with Jesus. We're called to accompany him, to dwell with him, to stay at his side, where we can overcome the fear that can overwhelm us. And we can, as we stand so often in opposition to the ways of this world, we need to watch Jesus. Just stand and watch him and dwell with him. Not run off and do things for him. That will be our focus. That will be our focus during Lent, is to walk with Jesus as he comes down the mountain and makes his way to Jerusalem. So let us just take time this Lent to dwell with him. Not just spend our hour a week in church, but spend hours each week in prayer and in the presence of Christ and of other believers, as so that we may see Christ, the one who transcends death itself, in all of his glory, and the glory of the Father himself.